Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
What pick would you submit to be in Arkansas, Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium this season? I think one of the ones that's really been popular on this, if you want to jump into this conversation, text, call 877-377-6963. Houston Nutt, horns down, after the 2000 Cotton Bowl where Arkansas just thoroughly dominated Mack Brown and the Texas Longhorns, and he's walking off the field looking at fans and doing the horns down. That is one of the most symbolic pictures in the last 20 years that you've had within this football program.
Jenkins, could we take the photo of Nutt and D-Mac and Photoshop that where we get just D-Mac with the bat following game? Could we do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we ought to put that one in.
Darren McFadden with the wood is another one That's an iconic moment. We've talked to Darren about it. We've talked to Houston about it. That is a fantastic story from their perspective, how the bat was able to make it on the field. That's definitely one.
Could we do one with John L? And can we put a little caption bubble up there? Will they allow that? It's not really clear in the rules.
It needs to be asked.
You could have John L, and it could say, this is a state of Alabama program. You know, you could put that up there. You think that would get approved?
I would hope so. I would hope so. Now, I know Arns and Ruskin were joking about this yesterday, that Bobby Petrino and the neck brace would probably be one that would not get approved, unfortunately.
But it should.
It should, but it's not going to,
let's
unfortunately.
Have some fun.
I know. Listen, we live in, you got to be politically correct in society today, and athletic departments are walking a fine line when it comes to anything that ticks someone or offends someone off, and that would somehow, some way offend someone if Bobby Petrino, if a picture of him made its way into Razorback Stadium.
What if we got the old video? I think it was 9 or 12 when Arkansas was at the College World Series, and Mike Irwin got ran over by all the LSU fans leaving the stadium during his live shot. A picture of him when he was getting pissed off would be classic.
And that was in Mike's Channel 5 days.
Yeah, it's back in all the way back KFSM days.
Pre Pig Trail Nation days, where he was very angry. And Mike is not a guy that you want to tick off by any means, because he'll yell at you, might even curse at you.
Wag a finger. Yeah.
So he was not happy. That's one of the best videos that I've ever seen in the history of Arkansas sports media.
How about one of Jeff Long sitting in the waiting room at the board meeting, just kind of waiting his fate, you know? He didn't know he was walking into the executioner's room that day. You could do that.
Eric in Hot Springs, Bob, you bring up Jeff Long. He says put one of Jeff Long in the north end zone.
Now we need that one in like 5'10", row 44.
So, yes.
You know, where you can see Winslow from where he's sitting. Yeah.
What about Jessica Jarrell? That's what Bradford Van Buren texts in.
Front and center.
Yeah, that would be something. Maybe that would pass. Maybe they wouldn't notice who that is.
Well, she's a former student athlete. Yeah,
technically, that is correct.
Alumni.
What about Hunter Yurcheck when he was sad and depressed following the, what loss was that? And he was sitting in the corner.
Yeah, you got to be more specific.
I think it was following the Auburn game, and he's sitting in the corner, and there's just this picture. It's this vivid picture that is stuck in my brain of him just looking and just completely depressed. And
oh, yeah, where he's got his head resting in his hands with that. I don't know how to describe the sport coat he had on other than awesome. It was just, it's kind of like it's just all Razorbacks, but that doesn't do, I'm not describing it accurately how
John, for the
over the top.
John Daly. John Daly wears that.
Yeah, it's a loud mouth. It's a loud mouth sport coat.
Sean in Greenwood texting Donna Bragg. We're
you don't get
great
the joke, fourth hour. Yeah. We'll get it to you in the fourth hour.
Great submissions here. Get them in, 877-377-6963. Now, while this picture is fabricated, the Matt Jones, I think he got knocked out at the, I can't remember, he scored the fabricated horns down in Texas in 2003. Now, that in the ambush in Austin, then that is not an actual picture. Matt does not actually do that, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He runs off. It was like I think it was a naked bootleg where he takes it in. It was either that or just a long run, a long scramble, and he takes it in either to the 1 yard line or the end zone. And someone, whoever did it, doing the Lord's work, put Matt's fingers, like his left hand holding the horns down.
Yep. So that would be. Can you get like an action photo in there, or do you got to live in this like little box they've kind of given you for this cutout? That's the problem.
I would hope they let you do a little action.
Need some action photos. Yeah.
Text out of the 870. This is also one I had down. Richard Nixon, HW, in 1969 at the Texas-Arkansas shootout. That would be a great. I mean, that's one of the more iconic pictures in the history of this football
program. Billy Graham. Yeah, you can get them all in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be a really good one. So I that's definitely one I had down. Another one that, and maybe it's not as notable to some of you, but it definitely stands out to me. When you beat Texas A&M in 2011, and this guy is actually a native here in Fort Smith, Arkansas. His name's Peyton something. He's one of John's old buddies. The plumper fellow that took off his shirt and started waving it around after Arkansas stopped Texas A&M on fourth down in 2011. Yep. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the image. I don't know Peyton.
I don't know his last. I'm forgetting his last name, but I know that image and that gif very well of when he, and he's a lot thinner now than he was in college because he's probably drinking less beer, but he takes off his shirt and just starts whipping it around, and all these Arkansas fans are just going ballistic. Because, again, Tommy, that's the last time you beat an A&M.
Well, can't hardly remember that far back, right? You need to dig through some old, like, analog photos to probably find that last victory.
So. Another one that stands out, how about Hunter Henry's lateral against Ole Miss in 2015? Yeah. Now, that would have to be kind of a what's the difference?
You need more horizontal, more landscape rather than portrait.
He would get three seats instead of just one. So that would be something. I think Hunter Henry, I mean, that's seeing that live in Oxford, Mississippi that day was one of the craziest days of my entire life.
If the university doesn't have kind of some blown up image of that, or maybe you have to piece four or five of those together, and was it October 17th, Ole Miss comes here? If you don't have those placed right behind the Ole Miss bench somehow, some kind of, you know, picture storyboard back there of that moment, you're missing an opportunity.
Just to rattle them a little bit.
Yeah.
Brandon from Paris texts and he says, how about the picture of Bielema's guaranteed contract? That's something.
We'll put that one up there with Jeff Long in section 510 or whatever.
Sean from Greenwood texts in and he says, Dana Altman, your coach for how many hours? 16 hours?
I don't know if it's that long.
Whatever it was.
He wanted to retire here, though.
What about Ron Calcagni and just his mustache? One of the greatest mustaches in the history of Arkansas football. The picture of him. Here's one. The picture of him, Lou Holtz, and I'm forgetting who the other player was on the Sports Illustrated. That was 78, if I remember that correctly. I can't think of the other player. Jenkins, will you look that up real quick? It's Sports Illustrated, Lou Holtz, Ron Calcagni, and there's one other player.
Ben Collins.
I think that's right, but I think that would be a good picture to put up there as well.
Probably the second most famous Razorback Sports Illustrated cover. Of course, well, maybe third, because you got Sidney and the dunk. That's number one. Then you got Corliss and Hog Wild in the national championship. And then you've got probably that one.
What about Frank getting carried off the field?
That'd be a good one. That's
an iconic picture. I mean, there's multiple occasions he got carried off the field, but Is the one I'm thinking of 65 Nebraska, or is it 64 Texas? The one that
I think you're thinking of the Nebraska game.
Nebraska game. Okay, so that's
Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, that's the Cotton Bowl that gave you a national championship, and it was the who voted prior to that to the bowl games.
See, Arkansas was the UPI champion, so I guess it would have been the AP or
okay, but Alabama, if I remember correctly, lost in their game.
They lost their bowl game.
They still keep. And say that they were the national champions. Mm-hmm. If you go to Alabama's campus, you'll see national championships, and they'll list out 64, even though we know that's not correct.
But they got one from like 1940-something where they had lost like three or four games in a year, and they just claimed they were the national champions then, too.
Not surprising at all. Another one stands out. How about the Cotton Bowl win in 2012? Tyler Wilson and company holding up that trophy. Really the last time you've been relevant in college football and a point you hope you get back to so desperately.
That'd be good. Or maybe from that game, Jake Beckett's hit and sack on Colin Klein, I believe was their quarterback.
A Heisman Trophy candidate, Colin Klein, that Arkansas just shut down. Again, that... The 2010-2011 defense, I know there were times that they had some gaps, but they were very underrated. That was a very underrated part of Bobby Petrino's years here in Arkansas. Josh Greenwood texts and he says, can't forget Brandon Burlesworth. Yeah, there's a bunch of fantastic Brandon pictures, just him looking like Clark Kent, Superman. I think
you just need the straight on with him with the glasses on. That's all you need.
Just make it real easy. So Casey Dick, this comes from Jordan and Greenwood, throwing the block in for McFadden.
Yes.
That's a phenomenal one. We were talking to Casey about that a couple months ago, and he was joking. He's like, yeah, some people still think that's a clip. It's not a clip. It's just a great block. Yeah, and again,
that was enough from the side.
And he hit that. He hit Chad.
I wouldn't have a flag on that.
Yeah, it was Chad. What is his name? It's not Chad Johnson. Chad Jones, the eventual All-American safety and stud baseball player at LSU. So it's not like he was hitting some scrub, Tommy. This is a guy that was an absolute stud for Louisiana State.
And he always has to live with the fact that a quarterback knocked him down.
Mm-hmm. He's going to live with that the rest of his life.
Knocked him out would be going a little too far, but took him out.
So Donnie and Fayetteville text in. This is a great one. As partial as I am to College game day, how about Lee Corso with the hog hat?
If that hadn't already been done, what's the problem? That should have been one like sent out in their marketing material.
Yeah, I would think so. So and remember, Herbie also threw on the hot hat as well. I think Lee put on the big mascot head, and then he put a hog hat on Herbie. So that was the last time. Again, for college football, college game day in the SEC, you have the longest drought of any school over Vanderbilt.
Thanks for reminding us.
So that's just where your football program is at right now. So JT in Hot Springs brings up what I said earlier, the Houston Dale Nutt in the Cotton Bowl in 2000. Here's one that from Train Hot Springs. It's great, Tommy. D-Mac and Felix dressed up as the Flintstones from the ESPN clip on Halloween back in the day.
That'd be a good one, yeah.
I want to say, so that would have been prior to the South Carolina game in 2007 or the Tennessee game in 2006. It was one of those two games, and I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was 06, but been a few nights of sleep since then.
It's just a few nights of sleep since with that.
Here's one we got to find. You got to find the best moment or the perfect picture for a Hall of Fame coach and a future Hall of Fame coach, I guess he's in a Hall of Fame, Dave Van Horn, and then, of course, Nolan Richardson. We got to find the right photo of those guys to put in there.
Well, I think for Nolan, it's him holding up the net of the national championship. I think that's pretty easy.
Or probably the one that comes to mind most.
Maybe another one that stands out. Some of you would be for this. Some of you would be against this, obviously. But Bill Clinton in the hog hat holding the basketball in front of the White House. I think that would be one. And I'm not exactly the biggest Bill Clinton fan either. But, I mean, that's just an iconic picture. Him and Nolan together. Yep. Him and Corliss together. I mean, when the President of the United States is for your team, that's something that you should be at least excited about. You don't have to be excited about the other stuff, but you should be excited about that.
To me, if you don't have Van Horn on the top step of the dugout in his power stance, hands on the hips, kind of leaning slightly forward, agitated look on his face, that's got to be the one you put up there, right? The power stance?
Angry. Do you remember when they beat Vanderbilt in game two of that series 2 years ago, and he's just screaming in intensity? That would be up there as well. Or him yelling at him waving goodbye to Cal. That would be one I think that would be a good one as well to toss up there, because anytime that you can make fun of John Calipari, you got to do it. Text from Bradford and Van Buren and J.W. Guthrie. I'm surprised, and I'm honestly shocked we haven't mentioned this to this point. It's on us. Paul Eels. Yep. We have to have a Paul Eels picture at this point.
Multiple
Paul Eels pictures. A picture of him next to Keith Jackson, him standalone. I mean, Paul is such an important part of the history of not only Razorback football, but Razorback sports in general. Dude's got to be in there somewhere.
Cornerstone, absolutely. So, there's plenty of good ones to pick out. You need one, though, of just Paul looking like Paul Eels. Sport coat, tie, ready to do the 6 o'clock sports, you know, on KATV. You need one just clean-cut Paul Eels, which he always was, but that's what you need.
Text in from Jordan in Greenwood saying you need to find a really good photo of Joe Adams in the punt return that he had against Tennessee. I think the one where he's walking off the field and he's just kind of strutting because he broke like 15 tackles or whatever it was. I think it was like 11, but it's fun to exaggerate. And he's just kind of strutting after he scores that. Or him just slamming the ball down in the end zone, because he gets in the end zone and just parks the ball down and starts walking off the field. Just the undeniable fact of how good and how talented that guy was is incredible. to watch him play football.
Now, speaking of in the end zone, then you need one of Matt Jones dunking the ball on over the goalpost against Ole Miss.
That's an in the end zone. That's a great one. So on senior night or senior day, whatever it was, because it was JP
day came.
Jefferson Pilot Sports, definitely not a night.
South
game
end zone, right side of the goalpost. He goes in there and dunks it.
Slams it home. So yeah. JT in Hot Springs reminds us that we need to have sunglasses on Dave Van Horn. If we're going to put a picture of him, he needs to have his shades on.
Yeah. Okay. Check that box.
DVH after Brady Toups' grand slam in 2000. Was that four or nine?
Four.
Okay, four.
Four. In the regional, not the super regional. In fact, it wasn't even the regional final, but...
Did they lose or no? No, 2004 they went to the College World Series.
2004 they won that regional. That when Toups hit the grand slam, that we, you know, one of the most historic moments in baseball history at Arkansas. Then they had to go play another game to get to the super regional. Florida State came in here. Arkansas won the super regional to go to Dave's first College World Series at Arkansas. I guess it'd have been his third in his career. Mm-hmm. He had two at Nebraska.
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Make sure you're following us at Hit That Line AR on Twitter, at Hit That Line Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We've been posting a lot of video content as far as the press conferences go, reacting to that. As all our shows, Halftime and The Morning Rush are on those accounts as well. We also post the interviews of Ruskin and Zach on our social media page. We mentioned this earlier. Arkansas got a fantastic bit of information news last night from Ketron Jackson out of Texas, four-star wide receiver, the now best commit in your 2021 class. And this goes back to what Justin Stepp has really been doing. We talk about Briles. We talk about Odom. We talk about LeBron. We talk about Brad Davis. We talk about some of the other coaches on this staff you're excited about. Well, since Sam Pittman has retained him, Stepp has done exactly what he did while Pittman was deciding on whether to retain him or not, and that's recruit. And he's brought in another high-caliber prospect and a high-caliber player. You got to remember, go back to when Pittman was deciding or not if Stepp was going to continue his role as the wide receiver coach at the University of Arkansas. A lot of coaches were getting let go. They weren't being kept on staff. And you see this video from the Arkansas wide receivers, Woods, Burks, Knox, Warren, and others, of them pulling Justin Stepp into the shower and just soaking him, and the excitement, the jubilation on their face that they get their guy. Because while you haven't necessarily seen the on-field production of that wide receiver core yet, which hopefully with Briles in here now, that will just completely take off with Stepp and Briles hopefully working hand-in-hand. But the excitement that those guys had as a wide receiver core keeping their coach was huge. The only holdover from last year's staff. So the wide receivers, you would hope, Tommy, would have a better time adjusting the offense because they have the same coach. So they're not having to relearn stuff or retaught stuff or get new things. Mm-hmm. Now, Briles is going to come in and probably change some stuff than that Joe Craddock had when he was the offensive coordinator. But really excited to have Stepp on this staff. You go back to just looking at his recruiting profile. He is the 17th best coach recruiting-wise in the SEC, according to 24/7 Sports. Nationally, he ranks 42. This is a widely recognized guy, not only in Texas, but just to wide receivers in general. Now, a lot of his talent has come from the state of Texas, and you continue to hope that he can pluck four-star guys out of there. But you should be excited and happy that Sam Pittman decided to keep him on staff, because to this point, he's done a great job recruiting.
Yeah, and he's helped you recruit Texas and clearly had a hand in this. Now, remember, Justin Stepp doesn't exclusively recruit wide receivers, and each coach recruits a territory. But, you know, his position's getting loaded. Now, when these guys come in and they're going through the process, they're visiting, obviously, with their coach, and they're making that bond, that connection with Justin Stepp. So this is the top of your class now, a big four-star get. It's your 19th commitment. Arkansas can be real choosy in these last 3 to 6 commitments or however far they go towards their 25. There's some thought that they may not go all the way to 25, but we'll see. I bet they get somewhere between 23 and 25 in this if they don't go all the way. So now you can be a little bit more selective down the stretch with what's out there.
I think one of those guys is going to be Cameron Ball, who's an offensive tackle that Arkansas Razorback. He's crystal balled. Rivals has him ending up at Arkansas. He is probably going to end up a Razorback. He's out of Georgia as well, so you're going to another guy, 6'5", 282 pounds. And there's another one or two that Arkansas is pretty lenient towards as far of they're probably going to end up in Fayetteville. But to this point, I know that Keytron committed last night, but like every other player on the 2021 class that you have committed this point, Tommy brought up 19 total. These are not signees.
Nope.
We always have to make that distinction.
Just verbal.
Commits are very different as verbal commitments relative to signees. So for Arkansas, yes, you've got them committed, but you continuously have to stay in contact, make sure they're going to end up at Arkansas. And with the early signing period probably not happening till 2021 or not at all, they'll just have a regular signing day in February. It's going to be interesting to see how Arkansas staff handles that for this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here's the good thing is getting to 19 at this point, being able to, like we were talking about, be a little more selective. You know where you're probably going to target position-wise and what you're working on. It allows you to get your ahead of the curve on working on the next couple of classes. So you can start really kind of focusing in on that. So this is how you rebuild a program. We just all have to understand it takes time. This is not a microwave meal. This isn't a hungry man's meal that you just throw in the microwave for 3.5 minutes. This is going to take some time.
I haven't had in a while one of those in quite some time.
A good Salisbury steak with gravy, mashed potatoes out of the microwave.
Old TV dinners. Yeah, I've not had a TV dinner in quite some time. So they're
how can you go wrong?
Pretty they're pretty handy every once in a while when you just really don't want to cook.
So if nothing else, this ought to get you excited. Now, that being said, I said the same exact thing with Chad Morse. Now, his recruiting was pretty good. He just couldn't do much with him once the guy
didn't
here.
Manifest on the field. So,
but his recruiting was actually pretty good.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown!
Clay, I know you're listening to our conversation to close down the segment. We've talked about Odom. We've talked about Briles. You've written a fantastic article on Derek LeBlanc, the new defensive line coach. We've talked a lot about Brad Davis and the mentality he brings. Sam Pittman retaining Justin Stepp has not necessarily been at the beginning of the headlines and stuff. You've seen it pay off to this point with the recruiting. What about why don't we talk about him enough for what he's done as far as recruiting goes at Arkansas, Clay?
Well, I mean, I guess that's on you.
I've
written on him too. I wrote something last year about him and his ability to recruit and the focus that he has in recruiting and, you know, the great wide receivers, Quinn and Sutton that he had at SMU. That was the strength of that team, and I think wide receivers will eventually be the strength of this team when you look at Burks, Knox, Woods, Warren. You know, there's Morris. There's five or six there, and you have to keep reloading too because some of these guys are sophomores and juniors, and the good ones, they only stay 3 years, right? So, but I think Justin Stepp is he's not under the radar. He's not one of the new coaches, and that's probably why we don't talk about him as much, or I should say, you don't talk about him as much. But you're coming around, so congratulations, Ty.
I guess it's only taken me 2 years, but we'll say here.
That didn't turn out like you wanted it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to set Clay up, and he just came back and hit me with the frying pan. But here's the thing. So yes, you mentioned.
Well, I don't understand why you haven't been talking about him.
I'm
only messing with you, Ty.
I know. I think it's because the production hasn't been there the last 2 years. And yes, it's hard to do it in the SEC. You mentioned Trey Quinn. You mentioned Cortland Sutton, who's the number one wide receiver for the Denver Broncos this season, also on the Thunder Ducks, my fantasy team. with those guys, yes, they had quite a bit of production in the American Athletic Conference. And yes, you're excited about Trey Knox, Treylon Burks. I know Shamar Nash has opted out this season. I know that TQ Jackson, he's back at SMU. You got Darren Turner, Megatron that you brought in from Memphis. Keetron Jackson's committed. But I think Arkansas, the reason we haven't talked about him as much here, Clay, and on this show, is because the wide receivers, as much as you're excited about them, you haven't seen what you necessarily saw at SMU. You hope this is the year where Knox, Burks, and some of the other guys take a massive jump in year three, or well, I guess year two under Stepp. Some of the guys will be in year three, and the younger guys will also get significant playing time and hopefully adequately adjust to Kendall Briles' offense this year.
Yeah, the key is offensive line protection and accuracy with the quarterback. And not all of the pieces synced last year. They didn't mesh. The wide receivers didn't always get separation the last 2 years. They got more last year than I thought showed up in the passing game, but I didn't think the quarterbacks found them. In fact, Knox, I think, was open the second half of the season. He was the leading receiver the first half of the season and then went through a stretch where he wasn't targeted very much, and I thought he was open. And it seemed like every time they ran a route that was designed for him, the quarterback was on his back. So the protection, if it improves, and with Franks at quarterback, I think that you'll see these wide receivers take a step up. And it all works together, and it all has to be smooth. And Sam Pittman said the first scrimmage, the passing game looked good. So there's something to kind of hang your hat on going forward. If the protection holds up today in their second scrimmage, I think you'll hear them talk about, the wide receivers that made plays again today.
You mentioned Knox not getting targeted, and I'm forgetting the visible frustration I saw. It was either in the Missouri game or the Mississippi State game, but I remember, like you were saying, there was a few instances that he was just wide open, and either the quarterback got sacked or they just didn't throw him the football. And for a wide receiver, when you're doing your job, when you're getting open, when you're running the correct route, when you're getting separation, and they're just not finding you the football, I know that can be taxing on you and it can be irritating. So like you're saying, Clay, for the wide receivers to really have success, yes, they need to continue to get better, but it all hinges back on two things, the quarterback and the offensive line, which has been inconsistent the past two seasons.
Oh, yeah, and he's one of the brightest guys on the team, one of the sharpest guys, and I he got his arms up, I'm open, and then you see him just like he'd been shot. Yeah. It's like the body language, just all the energy goes out of him. He's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I mean, there were things like that going on all around that team. It wasn't just him. You saw the frustrations when, a guy, misses a tackle. The guy beside him is like, well, I'm coming. If you just would have held on for a second, I would have blasted that guy. Instead, he's running for a touchdown. So the body language on that team last year, it was pretty incredible that it was as low as it was. And that's confidence, that's frustration, all those things. Those are the issues that Sam Pittman is working hard to fix. And to be honest, I think he's accomplishing the goals. I wish there were some games early where they could really get some confidence, and instead of Georgia or whatever. Yeah, but it turns they're now favored for the Mississippi State game. In the football power index or whatever that rating system is, which is that's been a long time since they've. They've been on the big end of that. I don't know what that says about Mississippi State, but it's of course, seeing is believing. Mm-hmm. I guess that still doesn't mean they'll be favored. They're just right now they're rated in that system a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's not a betting line favorite. It's a computer model favorite to win the game by right now half a percentage point. But, hey, you'll take it because you haven't been favored or picked to win.
Well, there's some progress.
Yeah, I mean, it's progress. Exactly right. Because when's the last time anyone of note thought you were going to win an SEC football game? It's been a while. So,
Bueller. Okay, yeah, that's something that I put out on a year. Was it yesterday or 2 days? I think it was 2 days ago. Yeah. I put it out, and I had a bunch of Mississippi State fans mad at me just for
Ty.
Thank you, Clay. Not for my work, but literally just taking a picture from ESPN and then placing it on my social media. And I had a bunch of Bulldog fans who were ripping me for
the messenger.
I know. Don't kill the messenger. That's the phrase we want to go with.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Let's bring in a guy to talk about that. He is Mike Griffin of the Atlanta Journal Constitution and Dog Nation. Mike, it's been a while since I've seen you, man. Last SEC media days. Unfortunately, we couldn't see each other down in Atlanta this year, but it's good to have you on this morning.
Yeah, I missed that event, man. That was good times last year and, you know, great moments at the theater watching Herschel and Steve Spurrier and Archie Manning up on that stage. I mean, that was a great celebration for the SEC, and I thought obviously Laura Rutledge did a great job. And you know, the thing I guess I come away with and where we're at right now, and I'll just skip ahead. We all watched some football last night. I'm excited and happy that these players are having an opportunity to pursue their passions. You know, some places in the country, student athletes are being discriminated against, I think, with political cause. It's hard to believe that could happen in 2020, but again, there's different politics in different regions. But, you know, the thing that kept going through my mind when there was doubt was, don't bet against SEC football. You bet against a lot, but don't bet against SEC football. And here we are, guys, just a few weeks away.
Yeah, 22 days out from Arkansas football. Griff, one of the things that Tommy and I have been asking and kind of speculated on this week is, did Kirby Smart, Todd Monken, and the rest of that staff know about Jamie Newman's inclination to opt out, or was that decision a surprise to them? You're inside Georgia sports, particularly Georgia football. What can you tell us about the decision Jamie made and if he let the coaches know prior to making that decision?
I don't know. It's a business decision. I mean, Jamie Newman is a graduate transfer. He's not like he's been here 4 years and left early. He arrived in January looking to improve his NFL draft stock. And if he'd have been the guy and if things were going well, I'm guessing he probably would have stayed, but, you know, there were signs. I mean, Georgia took a five-star transfer from Southern Cal in May. I mean, I don't think you do that if you feel like Jamie's the guy, right? You know, with a full quarterback room. So maybe things weren't, you know, going as smoothly, or, you know, Jamie didn't feel like it was the best offense, you know, to enhance his skills or to improve his draft stock, especially amid a COVID-19 atmosphere. I mean, this isn't easy now. Protocol's tough. You know, it's easy for us on the outside to say, oh, well, they just got to sit in a room and not talk to anybody. Yeah, well, try that for a while when you're 18, 19, 20, and 21. Yeah. You know, so have somebody tell you you can't go home to see your relatives because you're quarantined and your relatives are telling you to stay at school because you're in a college environment. I mean, that's what's going on. You know, have somebody test you 3 times a week. You know, thankfully, I haven't had to have the COVID-19 test, but I've heard from the people that have had it that it's not very pleasurable.
It's not fun, Griff.
I had one parent tell me, there's some of these guys that don't want this test that are thinking about not even playing because they don't want the test, because 3 times a week is a lot. So, you know, as I said, is the juice worth the squeeze if you're Jamie Newman? And, you know, at some point he decided it wasn't.
Yeah. So you ask, is it all worth it? And I look at what's happened in recent years with transfer quarterbacks and elevating their draft stock, and you think recently about Baker Mayfield, you think about Joe Burrow last year. I mean, Joe Burrow's probably a mid-round draft choice, even if that, and becomes the number one pick with a final year. Has Jamie Newman given up a real opportunity to elevate himself in a sport that's seen transfer quarterbacks do really well for themselves in the draft with that final season?
Well, I mean, Burrow did well for himself the second year he was LSU, not the first. You know, nobody was talking about Joe Burrow like this in 2018. And that's, you're assuming that Jamie Newman was going to win the job. And I'm not sure that was the case. I mean, JT Daniels is the former five-star quarterback who's awful good. You know, in the 2018 class, the only two quarterbacks rated higher than him were Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I mean, this guy is the real deal. I mean, this guy ain't no chump. You know, he could have picked anywhere to go out of Southern Cal. The fact that he picked Georgia and the fact that Todd Monken liked him, you know, that's your sign. I mean, and you don't think Jamie Newman saw that? You don't think Jamie Newman said, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? I thought I was the guy. Well, you're going to have to win it. And the competition's going to be every week. So you talk about potentially raising his draft status. Well, what if he lost the job? You know, what if he lowered his draft status? Now, he would have had another year, but what are you going to do with that? You know, stick around another year? Or at Georgia, you're going to transfer somewhere else. So I think under the circumstance, it's a business decision. I don't fault Jamie Newman for that. Look, sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it's just not a good fit. You know, I the same with coaches. 1997, I covered Alabama. Offensive coordinator, Bruce Arians, fired after 1 year, right? Sometimes it's just not a good – Danny Werfel, he went 2 Heisman trophies. I'm still trying to figure out what he did in the NFL. Yeah. Take a look at the top 10 quarterbacks in SEC passing history. I think you'll see 3 or 4 of them maybe that did anything in the NFL. 6 of them didn't. Chris Leak had a good career in the CFL. Danny Werfel, Aaron Murray, David Green. Where are they? So one size does not fit all, and there's no shame in this. There's no disappointment in this. You know, Jamie Newman's a grown man who made a grown man decision.
What do you think it signals to NFL scouts, GMs, head coaches, though, if you can't win the job at Georgia, is he the right fit for our team? Is that a reasonable thought that an NFL team might have?
Sure, they can decide that for themselves when they watch him work out. He's 6'4", he's 230, he's going to run a 4.7 40, can throw a ball 80 yards in the air. You know, all it takes is one team to like you. And Jamie's going to test out well. He's going to interview well. He's got film from some things he did at Wake Forest. You know, Jamie Newman averaged more yards per game last year than Justin Fields did at Ohio State. You know, a lot of people want to pick on the end of the year when his two best receivers were gone and they lost to Clemson and some of those other teams. But go back and look early in the season and compare the box score from Wake Forest in North Carolina to Clemson in North Carolina. Jamie Newman at Wake Forest had more offense against North Carolina than Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. So this is a talented guy. But, again, that doesn't necessarily mean he was the right fit for what the direction that Georgia wants to go with Todd Monken in the air raid offense.
We're talking with Mike Griffin of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation, here on the Morning Rush. Mike, there was a lot of speculation when Justin Fields reportedly was at practice a week ago, and then there was pictures of him popping up in the student portal. I mean, is there anything at all to the idea that Justin Fields could transfer back to UGA?
No. I mean, Justin's got a sister that goes to Georgia. He's got friends that he was recruited with on that team from the 2018 class. It was awkward for him to be at a closed scrimmage. That's the only thing. If the boosters were there, if it were friends as well as family, nobody would have even batted an eye. But this was like a hypersensitive, closed, no boosters allowed. Only immediate family, certain family members turned away. Got to be immediate, mom and dad, right? Not your Uncle John. You know, that's what was so, I guess, eye-opening about it. Was like, wait a minute. This was like the super secret close scrimmage, right? Like, this is the one nobody's coming to. You know, and that was, and then the question of how to get in, you know, Kirby, you know, did Kirby even know? And then what if Kirby didn't want him there? Wow. You know, so it was more of an awkward situation because of the nature and the heightened security around scrimmage.
Griff, let's talk about week one, man. So not many people, if any, think Arkansas is going to win that football game. I wonder if there's any truth to the idea that Sam knows so much of the personnel at Georgia, in Athens, not just on the offensive line, but really most of the players that he was there with last season. Is there an idea with Newman transferring out, with Monken being a new OC, that Arkansas can make this game closer than a lot of people anticipate?
Well, I don't know what people anticipate. I know that Sam Pittman's a good coach, and so is Coach Odom. You know, I know that Arkansas is in a tough spot since Texas A&M's joined the league and Missouri's joined the league. I mean, that is really... I think hurt Arkansas, that expansion, I think really, really hurt Arkansas from a recruiting standpoint. Obviously, there's not a lot of in-state FBS talent compared with other SEC states. you know, Louisiana, for example, right? So you got to get players. It doesn't matter who the coach is. You've got to have players. You had John Chavis there. He's a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. Got to have players, though. And Arkansas's got to get players. I mean, it's just, it's that simple. It doesn't matter. There's not some magic scheme you can run. I guess if you want the ultimate equalizer, you can go triple option like the service academies, but they don't have the 40-hour rule. They can work as much as they want. So it's tough. So what do you want Arkansas to go triple option? I don't think so. So what do you got to do to get players? That's the question. Can you create that environment? Can you create that excitement? I think Sam might be the guy that has a chance to do that because he's so charismatic. And there's nobody, I don't know anybody, that doesn't like Sam Pittman. He's irreplaceable. I mean, Matt Luke's come in and done a very good job, but you don't replace a guy like Sam Pittman. He was special. And so, you know, that gives Arkansas a chance when you've got a coach like that. If the fans will rally and support him, like kind of like South Carolina did. Remember when South Carolina was losing all – South Carolina was still selling out their stadium. I remember one year Tennessee was ranked in the top 25 in South Carolina, and South Carolina got the better bowl bid because their fans would travel. So it's going to take everybody at Arkansas to lift that program.
Mike, one last question before we let you go, man. With Jamie opting out, I know there's been questions, not just for Georgia, but in college football. There's some studs on the Bulldog football team, not only the defensive side, but you look at Zamir White, star running back, George Pickens, star wide receiver. Is there anyone that you could potentially anticipate for the Bulldogs that decide it's in their best interest to opt out this season prior to playing Arkansas?
Not really. No, I mean, you know, quarterback's kind of a unique position. If you're not first, you're last, right? Kind of, you know, Ricky Bobby there. But, you know, if you're not first, you're not on the field anywhere. It's not like you can go, oh, well, you're going to play on special teams, or we think we can get you a few snaps, we'll sub you in. That's not how that position works. I don't really see that. I mean, everybody's kind of all in, and there's a lot been invested at this stage. And that's not to say things couldn't change. You know, who knows? Maybe there's a DB that you know, gets edged off the bus and decides he wants to transfer somewhere. But we're getting kind of late in the game for that. You know, I don't see it. I never say never, but this team's pretty bought in. I mean, a lot of people look at this as a national championship season at Georgia. And, you know, they got a good defense. And a lot of people just kind of gloss over the good defense thing. Oh, yeah, good defense. No. I mean, they have a very special defense. Like, this could be a historically good defense. And it just doesn't register like an offense that scores 70 points a game, right? We just don't pay the same attention. So, but because of that defense, I think this could be a championship year for Georgia.
Mike Griffin of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and also Dog Nation. Griff, appreciate your time this morning, man. Hopefully in Nashville in 2021, we'll get to see each other again at SEC Media Days.
Look forward to it, guys. You have a great one.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Clay, you've ventured out to many great states in this country and traveling for different teams you've covered, different beats, obviously the magazine and stuff. For your money, what is the best barbecue that you've had outside the state of Arkansas?
Well, first of all, I got to give props to Tommy because I've had his pulled pork and it's pretty darn good. So that's as far as backyard barbecue, his is at the very top, and I've not had any better than that. I like Kansas City barbecue. I like Kansas City more than I like Memphis. Memphis is good. I've covered a football game at South Carolina recently and stayed in Charlotte, and the guy at the hotel I was staying at took me to supposedly the best barbecue place in Charlotte, and it was, you know, I was just really disappointed, and it's the mm-hmm. you know, I think it's that vinegar-based sauce or whatever that they do. I can't do the, you know, the Carolina barbecue, so that's thumbs down on that.
Yeah, me and you and Bo ate somewhere over there downtown on that trip, and we had barbecue, and it just was.
I don't like
it. Was okay.
It was just okay.
I'm not a fan.
Just
of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were really proud of it. And I told them, this is good, but it's not, you know, it wasn't anything that I thought was special. So that's two different times to Charlotte had their supposedly primo barbecue. Nope. Can't do the Carolina stuff. And that's fine. They, you know, they're proud of it. I think it's probably what you get used to. But I like. The sweet molasses is what the kind of sauce that I want my ribs and pulled pork basted with. I like Corky's in Memphis, the old Corky's downtown, not the one at Olive Branch. And there's two or three other good places in Memphis, but that's my favorite Memphis barbecue. But I really prefer Kansas City and Arthur Bryant's and then Oklahoma Joe's.
There you go.
In Kansas City, those two are the old Arthur Bryant's that's been burned out. That's the place to go. And first time I had it was in 1978, and I haven't had anything better than that anywhere I've ever been in the country.
Arthur Bryant's is definitely on my list. My father and grandfather took me there when we were going to see an NCAA tournament basketball game years ago. And it's great because you walk in and they don't have gloves on. And I think they've had to put on gloves on since with the health department. And they're just like, "What do you want?" And you tell them, and they're like, "You want fries?" And they're like, "Yeah." And you're like, "Yes, sir." And they're, "You want pickles?" And they just throw everything on a plate.
That's supposed to be.
Well, they don't. They actually throw it on a tray. They put butcher paper down and they throw it on the butcher paper.
Oh, right. Place is so
and
good.
That's how they serve it.
Right.
Yeah. And now I will say this about barbecue. There's some people that think they know barbecue, and you go in Texas and they think that their brisket, mesquite, smoked brisket. Mesquite has a pungent flavor to me, and I do not like it. And the people in Texas, they think that's how it's supposed to be done. And unfortunately, that's all they had for years and years. They had the mesquite wood, and they didn't know any better. I mean, you can smoke with apple or cherry wood, you know, a good hardwood that doesn't have that pungent. I don't really like hickory, and I don't really like mesquite.
Oak.
And that's, you know, so... Yeah, oak. And I think it has a lot to do the flavor of your meat, what kind of, you know, wood that you use in your smoking process. And I've got three smokers, and I think I know a little bit about smoking meat, smoking chickens, turkey, and pork butts. But I do not ever want anything that's cooked with mesquite.
No. You want out-of-state places, right? Let me give you one that's not far from where we're at that I was raised on and was a place that I went to monthly for sure. And that's Wild Horse Barbecue in Sallisaw, Oklahoma.
It's a good
now,
one.
It's still very good to this day, but like a lot of restaurants, you always hear the story of how it was back in the day. And when Hubert was there, the godfather of Wild Horse Barbecue, when he would be chopping your ribs and getting your plate ready, and he had that cigar going, and yeah, maybe some of the ash got in the beans, or maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And, you know, and they had a Coke machine where you got your drink because they didn't serve. You had to put quarters in. Well, if you hit the right button at the bottom, a beer would come out because one of the slots had beer in it back in the old days. They just had picnic tables. Now, they've evolved the restaurant since then. But if you are in or near Sallisaw, Oklahoma, Wild Horse is a must stop because they got the country-style pork loin ribs, bone-in pork loin ribs that they slice vertically, outstanding, great sliced beef sandwich, and some of the best beans you're going to have. So that's one kind of in our area that's out of state that's very good. You ever had Wild Horse?
Clay? I have. Yeah, it's really good. Another Oklahoma place in Tulsa. It's up in the Greenwood district, and it's called Wilson's. And I don't know if it still exists. It's been 20 years since I've been there. But they've got a sign out front. It says, "Wilson's, you don't need teeth to eat our beef."
There you go.
That's pretty good.
So we're
getting some great text in here this morning. Jody texts in. He says, "Lucy's Place in Coffeyville, Kansas." Mark says, Germantown Barbecue. Love me some commissary. I'm thinking he's talking about commissary
in Memphis.
Interstate Barbecue in Memphis as well. Again, the point of this conversation, my dad's going to Kansas City. I'm passing through Memphis to go to the lake this weekend. I'll be stopping to get some barbecue there, and that sparked the conversation. Yep. You and I were talking about before the program began, because we were talking about this particular subject. If you haven't had Alabama White Sauce.
Yep. I got a place for you.
And Tommy's got a place. I got a place. My place is in Nashville, Tennessee, at a place called Martin's Barbecue. And to this day, I have not had a better barbecue sauce and better chicken wings than Alabama White.
I bet there's a lot of people listening that have never tried the Alabama White Sauce. And it really needs to go on chicken, but you could dabble, you know, a rib or some pulled pork in it. It'd be just fine. It is really good stuff. Ruskin and I, when we make our countless trips to Birmingham, we go to a place called Blue Moon Barbecue, which wasn't far from SEC Media Days.
That's a good place.
And generally get the get the chicken and get the white sauce, because it is a treat. So if you're in a place on a business trip or a vacation or whatever, in particularly Alabama, it is popular there, try the chicken with the white sauce. So Blue Moon.
It's the real deal. You know,
the Tuscaloosa icon place is called Dreamland. And I've been there twice, and both times I thought it was overrated.
Yes.
Sauce was runny. I didn't.
It's just okay.
Didn't really care for it. And I mean, everybody just looked at you like, "This is it, right? This is it." I was like, "It's okay." I mean, I think that if you don't have, you know, a Kansas City style place there, then you don't have anything to compare it with. You think, well, this is what we got. It's pretty good. Well, it's not. It ain't Arthur Bryant's. I'm just telling you. I guess maybe it's just all in the eye of the beholder what you like. But I like the sweet molasses sauce. I don't want that runny vinegar stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when people tell you got to go to Rendezvous. You got to go to Rendezvous when you're in Memphis. Rendezvous's fine. I mean, it's a good.
Yeah.
It's a great atmosphere.
If you've never been, you should go. But don't go expecting the best barbecue you've ever had in your life. It's fine.
The secret at Rendezvous is to go with the local that has his waiter. And the secret there, they're running so many ribs out of that kitchen. Now that smoker, it's about the waiter picking the right ribs. You know, there's some that are a little bit too, you know, too dark, a little bit too tough, and there's some that are just perfect. And you know, you can go pick it out yourself, but they won't let you. So it's about the waiter, and you get the right waiter, and he's gonna go through a few, and then, no, I don't want that, I don't want that, and he brings you the right. My son-in-law is from Memphis, and he asks for a guy by name, and he'll come get you. And when you've got the right waiter at the Rendezvous, it is classy. It is great.
Like, guys, since we're talking about Rendezvous, you know what those waiters and waitresses make on average there?
A lot.
Do you know, like,
those are jobs they don't give up.
Throw a figure, just because I can tell you what it is. Throw a figure out there.
About, I would say it's north of 100,000.
Okay, Clay, what do you know what they make?
I think it's, somebody told me the good ones make 150.
Yeah. North of 100K. They did a great report on that in the Daily Memphian, I think.
It's a big restaurant when you get
massive,
in there. There's a lot of seats. Yes.
Unbelievable. But that to make over 100,000, unbelievable. So speaking of Memphis, Central Barbecue One is one that we've yet to mention. We went there when I was going there last time, went there. Memphis Barbecue Company is a place that my father and I have been to. It's unbelievable. Got a couple texts in here about, we already brought up Joe's. Q39 is another place that's kind of sprung up in Kansas City. I'm not a huge Gates guy. My dad isn't either. Have you had Gates Barbecue, either you two?
I have had
Gates.
It's
all right. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Yeah, it's good.
If I was going to Kansas City, I'd go to Arthur Bryant's or I'd go to Jack Stack.
Yeah, so my dad is going to Jack Stack. Another one that we haven't mentioned, St. Louis has some good barbecue. Pappy's and Bogart's are the two in St. Louis here. Make your way over there.
Never had a lot of barbecue in St. Louis.
Ted Drew's, and then get to see some Pappy's and Bogart's when you go over there.
Go to St. Louis. You got to go in there.
I'm just telling you, it's not because we're on the radio with it. Tommy can do. He can do some smoking, some meat. I'm telling you, he's pretty good.
If you go to St. Louis, you got to find your way up on the hill though for Italian. That's what I always want to do in St. Louis.
I don't think I've ever had Italian.
Pagnozzi has guided me into a couple of places I never would have found. And and you go in there and you said, "Do you know Tom Pagnozzi?" And man, they all grin. He's like, "Yep, he's a legend there."
You're not- number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.